right. Good morning. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. I think most people long for peace in their lives and in the world, in their community. A simple definition, peace, freedom from disturbance, period of tranquility, absence of conflict. So a peacemaker is a person who desires to bring tranquility to a situation where there's conflict. For example, one day in college, I was in the weight room working out, and an argument took place between two football players on the Bethel College football team. And that argument started to heat up, and one of the players pushed another player, and looked like a fight was about to begin. At that moment, did I think to myself, you know, I need to step in this situation and try to bring peace to this potentially violent situation? Did I think that? No. I thought, cool, a fight. I was not even close to being a peacemaker. I wanted to see a fight break out. But right before those two guys were about to exchange punches, another guy named Jeff walked towards them and calmly said, hey guys, break it up. And he stepped in between them, and with his calm words, he ended that conflict. He was a peacemaker. Our world needs peacemakers. There's been conflicts in the world since the very beginning. Go back to the very first family of Adam and Eve. Their sons had a conflict, especially Cain. Cain was so angry with his brother Abel that he murdered his own brother. It seems like violence is escalating in our nation, in our world. War has always been part of human history. Back in the 1960s, the celebrated historians Will and Ariel Durant wrote a book called The Lessons of History. And in one of the chapters are these words: war is one of the constants of history, has not diminished with civilization and democracy. In the last 2,100 years of recorded history, only 268 have seen no war. And that was written back in the 1960s. Kind of a startling statistic. Most of recorded history has been filled with wars and conflicts. Situation is not any different in the 21st century. The number of armed conflicts around the world has held steady, about 30 since the 2002. You know, of course, we think about the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and rightly so. We should be praying about that situation. But last year, there were 33 armed conflicts around the world. And according to the Council of Foreign Relations, the armed conflicts and violence is probably going to escalate in 2023 because of all the hot spots around the world. There is a lack of peace in our world. There's a need for peacemakers. There's a lack of peace in the lives of many people, in families, in workplaces, teams, schools, even churches, unfortunately. Churches, unfortunately, are environments for conflict and division. I came across this story last week. It took place back in the early 1980s. A young pastor right out of seminary was excited to begin his ministry in a church. But only after 2 years, he was fired and found himself driving a truck. So 4 years of college, 3 years of seminary, only 2 years of pastoral ministry, and he was driving a truck. And the reason for his firing was a conflict that occurred between him and an older, self-appointed leader of the church. The young pastor, remember, it's early 1980s, the young pastor wanted to introduce contemporary music in the worship service. And the pastor told the older man that the younger families wanted to sing some of these newer worship songs, and the older man replied that the younger generations have no idea what good music is. And so that conflict over worship music eventually led to the termination of the pastor. And that story is just one of countless others about the lack of peace in a local church. My first taste of this is when I was in San Diego when I was finished up seminary, summer of 1985. I was a youth pastor at a Baptist church in San Diego. I was going to end that ministry in July of that year, and then we're going to move to Danterbrog and begin my church there in August of 85. But anyway, we're just days of departing, but I was still on the payroll. We had a quarterly business meeting, and a debate took place over the church van. Some people said the van was needed, and others said it was not a necessary thing that we need to be paying for in the church. Now, it's okay to disagree in a church business meeting, but to get angry, to raise your voice about a church van? And I was just barely 26, fresh out of seminary, but I remember thinking, something's wrong with this picture. This is really getting heated over a church van. The local church should be the place where the Prince of Peace reigns, and yet one study indicates that on this very day, 50 churches will experience a major conflict, and many pastors will be fired, or they will quit, or be forced out because of some conflict. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." We've went through that reading. We're looking at verse 9. That will be our focus today. You know, the order of the Beatitudes is perfect. We cannot be peacemakers unless there is first a poverty of spirit, a mourning over our sins, which are the first two Beatitudes. The third Beatitude of meekness results when we see ourselves totally helpless before a holy God. This causes us to be desperate before God for His righteousness. That hungering, that thirsting in verse 6 is the fourth Beatitude. Then we will be filled with God's righteousness. And God will fill us by allowing us to be merciful to others. We'll be pure in heart, Beatitudes 5 and 6. And then another result is that we will be peacemakers. The seventh Beatitude most likely shocked His disciples and the crowd that was there on that Sermon on the Mount. They were expecting the Messiah. There were high expectations that the Messiah was coming. But His coming, in their minds, would be a military one. The Messiah would lead an army to free the nation of Israel from the tyranny of the Roman Empire. And so when Jesus uttered these words, "Blessed are the peacemakers," He reminded the people that His kingdom would have people that would be makers of peace rather than carrying a sword and then rather than being warriors to free them from Rome. Now we look at that word peacemaker, we'd easily see two words there, peace and then to make. We are to make peace. Every Christian has a responsibility to be a peacemaker. We're not to seek conflict or to be responsible for it. As a matter of fact, Romans 12, 18 says, "If possible, as far as it depends on you," so there's a responsibility, "live at peace with everyone." There is no way we could be a peacemaker in our own strength. It's a divine work within us, like all the Beatitudes are. We must first experience God's peace before we can extend it to others. Before we became Christ followers, we were enemies from God. Because of our sins, we were in great need of reconciliation, and our sins separated us from a holy God. And that's why God sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross as a sacrifice and a blood payment for our sins. God is the supreme peacemaker. He took the initiative to bring peace to our broken relationship with Him by sending His Son Jesus into this world. And the death of Jesus on the cross was a sacrifice needed to secure our peace with God. Consider Colossians chapter 1 here. "For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross." Amen. So when we turn to Jesus for salvation, we have peace with God. Have we experienced that peace? And it happens when we are reconciled to Him through Jesus. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The H.G. Wells, I think that Time magazine is from 1926, and as a futurist, an author, and a historian, he said these words, "The time has come for me to reorganize my life. My peace, I cry out. I cannot adjust my life to secure any fruitful peace. Here I am at 64, still seeking peace. It is a hopeless dream." Sad words. I don't know if he ever found peace in his life. I maybe need to do a little research, or maybe you know that maybe he found the Savior before he passed away. I'm going to be 64 in a few months, and I'm thankful that I found the peace of Jesus in my life at the age of 15 when I turned to Jesus. But H.G. Wells is right. It's hopeless without Jesus. Only a relationship with Jesus will bring true peace to the mind and soul. Jesus said in John 16:33 that in this world we're going to have tribulation. That's a promise, but in Him we may have peace. We must have that peace to be a peacemaker. Well, what a peacemaker is not? Well, there's some things it does not mean. It's not natural in anybody. Again, it's something the Holy Spirit has to produce in our life. No one is born with a characteristic of peacemaking. It's a spiritual attribute that comes from God. So that helps narrow the field down, because a peacemaker does not mean that we're passive, that in the sense that we're going to be peaceful and easygoing people. Peacemaking is not just being laid back. It doesn't mean we just tolerate everything. You do your thing, I'll do mine. We'll kind of keep out of each other's way and that sort of thinking. It also does not mean that we're peace at any price people. There are people that will do just about anything to avoid conflict or trouble, and that will usually just prolong the conflict. So what is a peacemaker? Well, a peacemaker will approach situations and relationships with honesty. Peacemaker will recognize broken relationships and will be the first to admit that he or she contributed to that broken relationship. Sometimes we will avoid reality to avoid conflict. And of course, the avoidance of conflict just paves the road to greater conflict. We already got this storm going on, but if we don't do anything about that storm, it might lead to a hurricane. And thus, a peacemaker is not only honest, but he's also willing to take a risk. It is a risk to try to bring peace, because we may be misunderstood or we may fail in the effort. And it's not easy if we're the one who needs to apologize and repent. Sometimes peacemaking means bringing a gentle rebuke to another person. So it is risk-taking, but even so, we are to be fighters for peace. In a sense, we are to wage peace rather than war. Ephesians 4:3 puts it this way: eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One author said this: the peacemakers, therefore, are not simply those who bring peace between two conflicting parties, but those who are actively at work making peace, bringing about wholeness and well-being among the alienated. Back in 1995, I went on a prayer journey that spent a week in Japan, and then we flew to Bangkok, Thailand for another week. And prayer journeys is when we visited our converged missionaries. We prayed with them, and we go to strategic places around the area and pray there. And so there were five of us. There was a pastor's wife. There was another lady who was a retired missionary. And there was another pastor, and then there was yet another pastor who was leading up the prayer commission of Converge at that time. And so there were three men and two women. On one of the last days in Thailand, there was a misunderstanding and there was tension between that pastor and the leader of the prayer commission. And it kind of festered throughout the day. That was the day we also fasted. And later that day, we were going to break the fast through the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And so before we did that, we did this late in the afternoon every day. We'd get in a circle in a room, and we kind of debrief, have a time of prayer. And so as we're in this circle, the tension between those two men got verbal. And I couldn't believe what I was witnessing. These guys were my friends, and one of them is one of my dearest friends that I've known since college, and they were going at it before we were going to pray and celebrate the Lord's Supper. And I debated, I literally debated, should I be passive or active here? Should I say something? It would have been easy just to let them work it out. But as they were going at it, finally I just said, wait a minute, time out. Time out, guys. And I said to them, I said, you guys need to work this out. You need to come together and be reconciled. We're about to pray and have the Lord's Supper. And then I also said that for several days, we've been praying for spiritual breakthroughs here in Bangkok, Thailand. And Satan would love to bring division to us, and that's exactly what's happening. And so these two men did forgive each other, and they embraced, and we had a good time of prayer. We broke the fast by celebrating the Lord's Supper, and we had peace among us. And after we left the country, by the way, spiritual breakthroughs occurred. For the next several years, many, many people committed their lives to Jesus Christ. Peacemaking is a risk, but it's worth it. If we follow Jesus Christ, we all have the responsibility to be a peacemaker. Bible makes it clear that the role of peacemaking can take place in a couple of areas. So the first area is that we're to be peacemakers when we are together. I'm talking about Converge Church. I'm talking about our community groups. I'm talking about Super Bowl parties, all that stuff, movie nights. Whenever we're together, we are to be peacemakers. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body." As members of the body of Jesus, we are called to peace. It's not an option. When His peace rules our hearts, then that will keep the ground fertile for peace to be displayed in our relationships. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." This also can be translated fervent love. And the word fervent was used of a runner straining muscles and pushing him or herself to the limit. And thus, as peacemakers, we work hard to love others in the church, even though some people may not even love us back. This love for others will cover a multitude of sins. So our love for each other will cause us to eagerly forgiving those who insult us or have hurt us with their words or their unkindness. Love is the mark of a peacemaker, and it tells people that we are safe to approach. Even those who have hurt us with their actions and words can be safe in our presence because we're not going to hurt them back. They may even be convicted because of the love and kindness and humility that Jesus is producing in our hearts. Even when we disagree with others, we still love them. You know, some Christians will take their pride to the grave, and it's unfortunate. And they will leave often behind a wake of broken relationships in the church. You know, the opposite of a peacemaker is a troublemaker. A troublemaker in the church is one who stirs things up, adds fuel to the fire. But the command to love one another far outweighs our opinions and pride. Kind of got a long quote here from William Barclay. "There are people who are always storm centers of trouble and bitterness and strife. Wherever they are either involved in quarrels themselves or the causes of quarrels between others. They are troublemakers. There are people like that in almost every society and every church, and such people are doing the devil's own work. On the other hand, thank God, there are people in whose presence bitterness cannot live, people who bridge the gulfs, heal the breaches, and sweeten the bitterness. Such people are doing a godlike work, for it is a great purpose of God to bring peace between men and himself and between man and man. The man who divides men is doing the devil's work, and the man who unites men is doing God's work." And so let's search our hearts. Are we peacemakers here at Converge Church, or are we stirring up division? There's a story of an old Puritan pastor. I used to have hair like that. Not quite as curly, but I had hair like that. Cotton Mather was his name. And he would often, had a long, fruitful ministry, but he would often receive letters from people who harshly criticized him and criticized his ministry. He kept all those letters. There was a stack of them. And they were bundled together, and they were on a bookshelf in his office where he would see it. And every time he saw that bundle of critical letters, he would pray, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." If I kept all the emails that I've received, critical emails since the late 1990s, I'd probably be about this high. But I usually just delete them. So, forgiveness and peacemakers go together. It's crucial that we are peacemakers in the church. James 3:18, "A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." We all have this incredible potential by the grace of God to bring about a great harvest of righteousness through our peacemaking. Let's go on to a second point. We're to strive to be peacemakers in all areas of life. If we live in this world, there's going to be trouble. If there are people, there will be conflicts. If there are highways and roads and politicians, there's going to be battles and wars. There are contentions all around us, and so there's a constant need for peacemakers to be present in the home, the school, the workplace, the car, the team, the community. Again, we are to fight for it. It says, Hebrews 12:14, "Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And so we're to make every effort to live in peace with people. Now, it's possible we do everything we can to be at peace with somebody. They may not want to be at peace with us. That's really not our issue. That's between them and God. But we got to do everything we can, because a characteristic of holiness is peacemaking. And without holiness and peacemaking, no one will see God. Many years ago, I was playing softball in Nebraska senior softball. I was in probably my early 50s at that time. And a fight broke out. An argument broke out between one of my teammates and a teammate on the other team. And as a matter of fact, it was so heated that we had to restrain both players because they wanted to attack each other and fight. Now, picture this. Two grown men, both about 60 years old, both grandparents. They're ready to punch it out on the third base side of the infield. We finally got them separated. We were at bat, so we got our player back to the dugout. The other player got it, I think he was playing out in the outfield. And so I'm in the dugout, and the guy who wanted the fight, he was still breathing out threats, and he was angry and heated. And I went up to him, and I just put my hand on his shoulder. I said, just let it go. It's not the end of the world. Just let it go. We need to be peacemakers. And there's a blessing. We shall be called sons of God. Wow. In other words, no one will experience salvation and be in heaven. And that's what Jesus meant in the Beatitudes when he said, for they shall be called sons of God. That's the blessing of the Beatitude, a child of God. And the idea here is that God himself will give us the title. You are son of God. You are a daughter of God. We cannot be a child of God unless we're a peacemaker. And so peacemaking proves that we're moving towards holiness, but it proves that we are children of God as well. So being a peacemaker is a cure for road rage, conflicts in the home, the workplace, school, neighborhood, the team, our opposite teams. It doesn't take a workshop on anger management. It only will be the supernatural peace of Jesus. And we must be peacemakers because many people around us in our lives do not know the peace of God. They have not been reconciled to God through Jesus. They know they have troubles. Everybody has tribulations and troubles, but they try to put Band-Aids on them rather than resting in the Prince of Peace. And so as we display true peace in our lives and as we are peacemakers, we can point people to Jesus. Haddon Robinson said, no peace will exist between nations until peace reigns in each country, and no country will have peace unless peace dwells within people, and no people will have peace until they surrender to the Prince of Peace. Have we surrendered to the Prince of Peace? The year that I was born, 1959, this movie came out, Ben-Hur. Charlton Heston played Judah Ben-Hur. In the movie, and I started streaming it last night because I wanted to remind myself. It's a 3.5-hour movie. I got through the first 90 minutes last night. But he's a prince in Judah. He's a wealthy man. He's a pacifist. He doesn't want war. But because of circumstances that led against him, he became a man who loved conflict and discord, and he loved a good fight. And in the movie, he was wrongly sent to the gallows. And as he was marching with all these chained up prisoners to the gallows, I mean, they're just dying of thirst. They finally find a watering hole, and the Roman guard says, let's give water to the soldiers and the horses first, and then to the prisoners. But for some reason, they did not allow Judah Ben-Hur to have water. But then somebody stepped in and gave him water, and it was Jesus who stepped in and gave him a cup of water. And that was his first encounter with Jesus in the movie. I remember watching that when I was a little boy back in the 60s. That scene when Jesus gives him water, just so, so moving. And I was just moved in the same way last night when I watched it. That was his first encounter. There was a second encounter. He also witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus. And at the very end of the movie, he shared what he witnessed with Esther, a woman that he'd fallen in love with. And Judah said to Esther, almost at the moment Jesus died, I heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Judah said, even then, I felt his voice take the sword out of my hand. What a line. I felt his voice take the sword out of my hand. Most likely he has some sort of conversion experience witnessing the crucifixion. You know, the world is full of swords, full of battles, but we are called to be peacemakers. We show people through our example and gentle words that we've laid down our swords, and then as peacemakers, we help others to do the same. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons and daughters of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, it's so good to be at peace with you through your Son, Jesus. And I pray for anybody here that have not experienced that peace of God in their life. I pray that today will be the day they, in faith, will embrace Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, that you've called us to be peacemakers. And maybe we are in some sort of conflict right now, or maybe we're witnessing some sort of conflict around us. Lord, give us the courage, give us the strength of the Holy Spirit to do our role as a peacemaker. And again, we thank you that we've been reconciled to you through your Son, Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.